the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel reading immediately follows last Sunday's reading about the feeding of the 5,000 people with five barley loaves and two fish. You have heard that after this miracle, Jesus sends his disciples into a boat and tells them he will catch up with them later. And then Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. At this point in the gospel reading, we can enter into the story and join the disciples in the boat. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles across at its widest point. So it would have been pretty easy to sail that portion. But note the description of the sailing condition that night. The wind was against them. You know what? I think this describes the reality of our lives at one time or another. Do we remember the time in our life when we felt like the wind was always against us, when we seemed unable to do anything? It was not, of course, for want of trying. It was just that the wind was against us, that no matter which direction we rowed our boat, we can't do anything. Life was simply hard. Like the disciples, we found our life at those times caught in a storm. Now, according to the gospel story, in the middle of the storm, the disciples thought that they saw a ghost. That's another thing about the storms of our lives. We often imagine the worst. We see barriers and hurdles that appear insurmountable. Then we, like the disciples, begin to see ghosts and are terrified because life is appearing darker than it actually is. But then Jesus called back to these disciples and us during these times, "Take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid." In the Synoptic Gospels, we read that Peter, one of the disciples, needed further proof. So according to the Synoptic Gospels, which we did not hear from Mark, Peter said, "If it is you, Lord, have me walk on the water to you." And Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, you come." And Peter actually walked for a few steps on the surface of the sea. But then he remembered that he was in the midst of the storm, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And he shouted, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and pulled him from the water and went back boat. The winds died down and the sea became calm, and those in the boat recognized again that it was the Lord. This is such a wonderful story with a happy ending. But it seems oftentimes so unlike our life stories and those unfolding around us. Happy endings do not come that easy. Good people still lose their jobs. Nice families are still divided by broken relationships. We see more and more homeless people around us. People we love become sick or disabled. Conflicts and disagreements continue to go unresolved. and we can't make any sense of these storms in life. We are at a loss, and we are afraid. This is the central point of the story, of the story of the disciples and of our story. That the same Jesus who drew near to the disciples in their fishing boat will also find us in the midst of the storms of our lives. And Jesus does not only come to us in the storm. He also sits and suffers with us until the storm has passed. This is good to remember, especially during those difficult times. And that is the story of the gospel today, that Jesus will come. Now I have another story to illustrate this particular point. And this is told by a new professor about his student named Tommy. Tommy is well known to be the atheist in residence in my class, he said. He constantly objected to the possibility of a living God. So at the end of the course, when he turned in his final exam, he asked me, "Do you think I'll ever find God?" "No," I very emphatically replied. "Oh," Tommy was taken aback and responded, "I thought that was the product you were pushing." I let him get 5 steps from the classroom door and then called out, "Tommy, I don't think you'll ever find God, but I am absolutely certain that he will find you." Tommy just shrugged a little and left in silence. A few years later, I heard that Tommy had terminal cancer. And one day, out of the blue, Tommy came to see me. "Tommy," I said, "I've thought about you so often. I heard you are sick." "Oh, yes, very sick. I have cancer in both lungs. It's a matter of weeks," Tommy replied. "But what I really came to see you about," Tommy continued, "is something you said to me on the last day of class. I asked you if you thought I would ever find God, and you said no, which surprised me. And then you said, 'But he will find you.' You know, I thought about that a lot. But when the doctors removed a lump from my groin and told me that it was malignant, that's when I got serious about finding God. And when the malignancy spread into my vital organs, I really began banging my fist against the doors of heaven. But God did not come out. In fact, nothing happened. Well, one day, I woke up, I just quit. I decided to spend what time I had left doing something more profitable. Then I remembered something else you have said. The essential sadness is to go through life without loving. But it would be almost equally sad to go through life and leave this world without ever telling those you love that you had loved them. So I began with the hardest one, my dad. I went to him and said, "Dad, I love you. I just wanted you to know that." And my father did those things I could never remember him ever doing before. He cried and he hugged me. We talked all night. It felt so good to be close to my father and to hear him say that he loved me too. It was easier with my mother and my little brother. They cried with me too, and we hugged each other and started saying really nice things to each other. I was only sorry about one thing, that I had waited so long. And then one day, I turned around, and God was there. He didn't come to me when I pleaded with him. So apparently God does things in his own way and at his own hour. But the important thing is that he was there. He found me. You were right. He found me. Tommy, I think you are saying something very important. Could I ask you a favor? The professor said. You know that when I had you in class, you were a real pain. But you can make it up to me now. Would you come into my present class and tell them what you have just told me? Tommy agreed. And so we scheduled the date. But Tommy never made it. He had another appointment far more important than the one with me in my class. But before he died, we talked one last time. He said, "I am not going to make it to your class." And I answered, "I know. But will you tell them for me? Will you tell your whole class for me? Don't worry when you find yourself in the storms of life, when the winds are against you in all directions, and you do not know what to do. Don't be afraid. The Lord will find you." Amen.